Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
Hi and welcome. Yes, this is Judaism 101.9 and you are on Chai FM and you're together with Rabbi Michael Katz. Yes, it is a privilege to be here and it's wonderful to be able to talk to you today and to reflect on a momentous week, but look forward to hopefully even better days in the coming days in the week that is up ahead. Of course, on Judaism 101.9, we try to give you some background to perhaps some things that happened at this time over the years, over the centuries, never mind the decades and the days, but to think back in time to see how it impacts on our lives, to see how it impacts on time. Because, you know, in Judaism, of course, we mark special dates, and those dates are embedded in a certain atmosphere, in a certain behavior, in a certain light that each and every special date and day is embedded with. And of course, we have many of those around this time, many that have passed, many that lie up ahead. And if we just look at today in history, today, the 29th of Sivan, did you know that while we read last week the Parsha of Shelach, reading about the spies, today was the day. It was the 29th of Sivan in the year 1312 before the Common Era. 1312 years before the Common Era that Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moses dispatched the 12 spies, the famous 12 spies, who went to tour the Holy Land in preparation for its conquest by the people of Israel. They were given their brief. They were told what to do. And interestingly enough, they all came back, with the exception of two of them, telling the truth, or so it would seem. They spoke about the land being large and beautiful and huge fruits and so on. But they also mentioned the huge giants. They mentioned the people that they saw there. And they threw in the fact that it was kind of inconquerable. Only two, Yoshua and Kalev, said, Tova ha'aretz ma'od ma'od. This is a good, beautiful, positive land. This is the land that is excellent. It is so good because Hashem has brought us here, and we know that the same way as Hashem made it possible that we could conquer Egypt and that we could cross the Red Sea, Hashem will make it possible that we can do this too, and we need not worry, we need not care. What we've got to do is put one foot in front of the other, move forward, and go and conquer the land. And of course, we know what happened. The Jewish people had to stay in the desert for the balance of the 40 years that they had left, and they give the chance for all of those people who were the naysayers, who didn't want to possess the land, didn't want to go into Israel, that they should stay there, die out in the desert, and that the new generation, who were willing, who were keen, who did believe, who were on board with the fact that God was going to make this conquest absolutely perfect and brilliant and applicable and possible, that they were the ones who were going to inherit the land. They were going to go there. So the spies and the people weren't necessarily punished per se, but they were destined to remain outside of Israel because their bond with Israel and their ability to make it successful was going to be impeded, impacted, and degraded by this attitude. And so on the 29th of Sivan, which was like now, Erev Rosh Chodesh, yes, because the 29th of every Jewish month is an Erev Rosh Chodesh, because some months end at the end of 29 days, and then the first day of the next month is Rosh Chodesh. Sometimes, like this month, the month has 30 days, the month of Sivan, and therefore tonight and tomorrow is the 30th of Sivan. The next night and the next day, the first of Tammuz, we're going into the month of Tammuz, but the 29th from now, from this afternoon, we're already into the throes of Rosh Chodesh. It is already the time where there is this fundamental change in the atmosphere, in the world, in the stratospheres, in everything. There is this change which is the advent of the new month. We call it, while it is the 30th day of Sivan, it is still called Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. It is already part of going into this month of Tammuz, a brand new month with everything that it brings in its wake. If we go a little bit further forward and we look at Rosh Chodesh Tammuz itself, and particularly the first of Tammuz, which is Friday, this happens to be the day on which was the birth and the yahrzeit of Yosef HaTzadik, of Joseph. Joseph was born in 1562 and passed away in 1452, before the Common Era. And so Joseph, who was the son of Jacob, our patriarch, born in Haran on the first of Tammuz in the year 2199 from creation, in other words, 1562, before the Common Era, the first child of Jacob's most beloved wife, Rachel, born after seven childless years of marriage. He passed away on the same date, 110 years later, in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, where, of course, he was the viceroy. When he was 6 years old, Jacob and his family returned to the Holy Land, to Israel, eventually settling in Hebron. And though younger than 10 of his 11 brothers, he was his father's favorite, and a great rivalry existed between him and his brothers, whose animosity towards him increased with his two dreams, famous dreams, that he had forecasting that he was destined to rule over them. At 17 years of age, he was sold into slavery by his brothers. When he refused the advances of his master's wife, she had him placed in prison, and he languished there for 12 years. And at the age of 30, therefore, he interpreted a pair of mysterious dreams dreamt by Pharaoh, appointed viceroy of Egypt to oversee the gathering and storage of grain in preparation for 7 years of famine that Pharaoh's dreams had predicted. He married Asnat and had two children, Manasseh and Ephraim. Great famine then brought his brothers down to collect food, and Joseph passed away in Egypt on his 110th birthday. The first of his brothers to die, he transmitted to them the divine promise to Jacob that his children would be taken out of Egypt and restored to their homeland, the Geula, and made them promise to take his remains with them when they left.
Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
Hi and welcome back. Now, the day before Rosh Chodesh, like today, the 29th day of the month, is always like a day of repentance, a day of forgiveness. It is often referred to as being a Yom Kippur Katan, a little Yom Kippur. And if you were in certain communities, they have special Yom Kippur Katan prayers that are said on Erev Rosh Chodesh. However, when we go into the later part of the day, it becomes more kind of festive, because Rosh Chodesh is a festive date. And there are many observances that we need to be aware of when it comes to Rosh Chodesh. And this would apply equally to both days of Rosh Chodesh, that is, tonight and tomorrow, tomorrow night and the next day. Well, several special portions are added to the daily prayers. We say Hallel. Hallel is said. The festival prayers are said, although they're slightly shortened from what you would say on the first days of Pesach or on the days of Sukkot and Shmini Atzeret and so on. We do say Hallel, and we do this following the Shachrit morning service. We add the Tefillah of Ya'aleh V'Yavo, like with all the other festivals. This prayer is added to the Amida and to our Birkat HaMazon, our grace after meals. We also say an additional prayer service for the additional offerings that would have been brought in temple times, and this is called the Musaf prayer. Musaf being additional. These additional prayers are said on every Shabbat, on every Yom Tov, and of course on Rosh Chodesh. We do not say Tachanun. Tachanun and similar prayers are omitted, so it's not a time for browbeating or for beating our chests and apologizing. That has got to do with perhaps today, perhaps Yom Kippur, perhaps other days of the year, but not Rosh Chodesh. On Rosh Chodesh, we have these special observances. In addition to that, there are most people, particularly in the Ashkenazi community, of course, who do not take haircuts on Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is not a date for a haircut, so that's tomorrow or then and the next day. Why? Because it's like a semi-Yom Tov. And many also have the custom to mark Rosh Chodesh with a festive meal and to reduce work activity. Now, the latter custom of reducing work activity is particularly prevalent amongst women who have a special affinity with Rosh Chodesh, because in the entirety of the months, if you think about it, has got a lot to do with women. You know, we always think about the concept, of course, of a month. The word month comes from the word moon, or a similar word to the word moon. The months are dictated by the moon, and when the moon is in its certain phases, we know that human body clocks, as well as the tides, etc., are controlled in some strange and mysterious way by the moon, and therefore it has got this kind of feminine property, the idea of the moon, and therefore it was traditional in many communities that women refrain from certain types of work on Rosh Chodesh as well. So that would apply Rosh Chodesh observances for tomorrow and for the next day. Now, if we fast forward then to Shabbos, the coming Shabbat, of course, is the second of Tammuz, and this marks the passing of Rabbi Nachman of Horodenka in 1765. That's not as long ago as, of course, Joseph and what we were talking about before. Now, Rabbi Nachman was a close colleague of the Baal Shem Tov. It's very, very interesting to note who he was and why we're mentioning him. His son, Rabbi Simcha, married the Baal Shem Tov's granddaughter, Feiga. Their son, the famed Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, became the founder of Breslov Hasidism. The Baal Shem Tov once asked Rabbi Nachman of Horodenka to deliver a letter to Reb Dov Ber of Mezrich, who later became known as the Mezrich Magid, in which he attempted to persuade Reb Dov Ber to join him to become a disciple. Upon receiving the letter, Rabbi Dov Ber said, "I see an auspicious sign in the student who bears the letter. If Rabbi Nachman of Horodenka is such a holy tzaddik, how much more so is his teacher, the Baal Shem Tov?" Rabbi Dov Ber then agreed to meet with the Baal Shem Tov and joined the Hasidic movement. So, Rabbi Nachman of Horodenka played this incredible role of bringing, really, through the instruction of the Baal Shem Tov, through bringing the Mezrich Magid, the Magid of Mezrich, to the Baal Shem Tov, and of course, then providing for making the alleyway, the channel for the continuance of the Baal Shem Tov's teachings to the next generation, and then, of course, to all those generations thereafter. Now, if we jump a little bit further forward, we're going to come back to the third of Tammuz, but if we go to the fourth of Tammuz, we have the passing of Rabbeinu Tam. In 1171, Rabbi Yaakov ben Meir of Ramarupt, known as Rabbeinu Tam, was the grandson of Rashi, Rabbi Shlomi Yitzchaki, and one of the primary authors of the Tosfos, commentaries on the Talmud. The Beth Din rabbinical court he headed was regarded as the leading Torah authority of his generation, and the 4th of Tammuz marks his yahrzeit. But let's go back one day from that to Gimel Tammuz, the 3rd of Tammuz, which comes out this year on Sunday. It is Saturday night and Sunday, the 3rd of Tammuz. A significant date, a huge date, and a date that is commemorated around the world, particularly in the Chabad Hasidic circles, for reasons that we will explain in a moment. But let's first state some of the things that actually happened in history on Gimel Tammuz, on the 3rd of Tammuz. Number one that is recorded is the fact that it was the date on which Joshua stopped the sun in 1273 before the Common Era. On the 3rd of Tammuz, Joshua was leading the Jewish people in one of the battles to conquer the land of Israel. Victory was imminent, but darkness was about to fall. Sun, proclaimed Joshua, be still at Givon. Moon, at the Ayalon Valley. The heavenly bodies acquiesced, halting their progress through the sky until Israel's armies brought the battle to its successful conclusion. How significant, how prophetic, how incredible that we're thinking about that in this week, where it wasn't that the sun stood still. You know, today with stealth bombers and all sorts of technologies, it seems that the battles hotted up at night. In days gone by, the battles had to take place in the daytime. They didn't have night vision. They didn't have radar. They didn't have the ability to see. Here things have been reversed, but wasn't it fascinating, or isn't it fascinating, that in a way time sort of stands still when you're thinking about, when you're looking at The incredible passage of time that we've been through over the last couple of weeks with Israel's incredible work that it did to get rid of the Iranian threat, or hopefully at least for the time being, to get rid of the Iranian threat and all its proxies and so on, head to a time when a ceasefire is proclaimed, head to a time when America joins. And wasn't it absolutely fascinating to live through a time when you had like him or not like him, and you don't necessarily have to like everything that he does or he says, but that the American president proclaimed God bless Israel, God bless America, kind of in one voice. It was something incredible, an incredible time to live through, and something really spectacular to have beheld. Please God, the days ahead will be blessed with no loss of life. Our young men and women who are putting their lives on the line continually for us all around the world, and particularly for our Holy Land of Israel and for the people of Israel. It goes without saying that we need their magnificent dedication to not be called upon anymore. We need them to be safe. We need them to be protected. We need to ensure that there is no more loss of life, not from them, not from people in apartment buildings who happen to take direct hits, God forbid, from missiles that are launched from so far away with hateful intent. We need to try and to bring the world to a time where once again not only will the sun stand still, but where Jewish victory will be just as it was in the days of Joshua and just as it has been over the last short while. I think that in the future, as many have announced and spoken about, people are going to be talking about this 12 days of battle and this 12-day war that has taken place over the last short while. In kind of the same glowing terms, if not more glowing terms, once the details emerge, or as we do of the Six-Day War or any of the other great and wondrous victories of the IDF, of Israel, and of the Jewish people. Now, so the sun stood still. Joshua's battle was won in the place called Givon, and it is also the date on which there was a great fire that destroyed much of the town of Lubavitch. Think about that in terms of the destruction, unfortunately, that has happened, albeit that this was much less, and included the home of the third Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Menachem Mendel of Lubavitch, the Tzemach Tzedek, and many invaluable manuscripts of Hasidic teaching were lost in that fateful fire in 1851. It was also the date in 1927 where Rabbi Yosef Yitzchok Schneerson, the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, was released from prison. Now, we've mentioned it before, all the Lubavitcher Rebbes were for a while in prison, all for the same thing, for spreading Judaism, proclaiming Judaism, wanting to stand up for what is right against against the Soviet Union, against the Tsars before, and they all spent some time, unfortunately, having been arrested. And the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe was arrested on the 15th of Sivan, 1927, this was for his work to preserve and disseminate Jewish learning and observance throughout the Soviet Empire. He was held in the Spalerno prison in Leningrad, interrogated, beaten. Initially, he was sentenced to death, but international pressure got the sentence commuted to 10 years hard labor in Siberia and then to a 3-year term in Kostroma. And it was on the 3rd of Tammuz, 18 days after his arrest, that he was released from prison and allowed 6 hours at home before reporting to the Leningrad train station to embark on his exile. People gathered there to see him off, and though he knew that there were agents present, he spoke, encouraging all to persist in the very activities for which he was arrested. And this, he proclaimed, all the nations of the world must know. Only our bodies were sent into exile and subjugated to alien rule. Our souls were not given over into captivity and foreign rule. We proclaim openly and before all that any matter affecting the Jewish religion, our Torah and its mitzvahs and customs, is not subject to the coercion of others. No one can impose his belief upon us, nor coerce us to conduct ourselves contrary to our beliefs. And after on the 12th of Tammuz, just a few days later, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchok was informed that he was free to return home, and he was then allowed later to leave the Soviet Union and he resettled for a short while in Riga, in Latvia. Amazingly, this is the date on which, years later, his famous son-in-law, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, passed away, 1994. Born in 1902, the Rebbe passed away in the early hours of the morning of the 3rd of Tammuz, the year 5754 from creation. So that was 1994. And if we think then about the power of this date, it has got all of those things. The sun standing still for Joshua, the triumph of Am Yisrael in the battles, the fact that the previous Rebbe was released from imprisonment and from a pending death penalty at that time, and the Yahrzeit then of the Lubavitcher Rebbe when he took on high all the magnificent work that he did over his tenure as the Rebbe, and at the time that we were privileged to have the Rebbe with us as our tzaddik, as our leader, as our Rebbe, and then to give us the gifts of the ability to carry on doing his incredible work on a regular basis, is something absolutely magnificent and incredible and a privilege. And we think then about the date that really marks it all, Gimel Tammuz, the 3rd of Tammuz, which comes up on this Sunday.
Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
Hi and welcome back. Yes, we've been talking about the days of the past week, the days of the upcoming week, and things that we need to bear in mind for this time. Of course, going into the month of Tammuz, it makes us remember that we've got Tammuz and then Av and then Elul, exactly 3 months ago till Rosh Hashanah. It's not far off, literally just around the corner, and quite scary to think about it in those terms, of course, because it is amazing. People keep on saying about how time flies. I guess it flies when you're busy. I guess it flies, and I hope it flies when you're doing good things, which, of course, we are all committed to do all of the time. So, Gimel Tammuz, the 3rd of Tammuz, and what do we reflect upon when we think about the legacy and the mandate and the request of the Rebbe for each and every one of us? It is a time when we think about, at the time of the Rebbe's Yahrzeit, not just about what the Rebbe accomplished, what the Rebbe stood for, what the Rebbe did, but probably and possibly even more so, he would have wanted us, I think, to think about what we are going to do. What is the job of each and every person? What did the Rebbe empower each and every Jew with? Well, the Rebbe often spoke about the fact that each Jew needs to be what we call a shaliach. A shaliach means not only a card-carrying chabadnik who travels around the world and helps people to do wonderful things around the world, for which Chabad has become famous, and the Chabad shluchim, the emissaries, have become famous, of course. But really that each person is an emissary of not only the Rebbe, but an emissary of God, an emissary to do good things all the time. Giving of charity and sharing and caring and having an effect on everybody all the time. This is something that each and every one of us should see us as having the ability to do, as well as the mandate to do, and not only the mandate, but the instruction to go ahead and do it. And of course, the Rebbe particularly empowered us with several mitzvah campaigns over his tenure as Rebbe. The Rebbe really pushed very hard on these mitzvah campaigns. Now, they were all designed to be things that everybody could get into, that everybody could do. Some of them simple, one-off things, some of them a little bit more long-lasting, but they were all really ready there and attainable. Not too hard, not too difficult, things that were applicable and palatable to every Jew everywhere. And at the same time, they're all things that have a protective edge. They protect us. They are protection not only for ourselves and for our families, but protection for our Judaism and protection for our future and protection for our Holy Land. And they included, of course, the famous Tefillin campaign, which the Rebbe really instituted just before the Six-Day War, and explained at length how it protects the soldiers, how it protects the people, how it protects the whole of Am Yisrael. It is this protective, let's call it, if we may, an iron dome around each and every one of us at all times, a protection. Candle lighting for women, candle lighting before Shabbat, before Yom Tov, before any of the Chagim, and on the Chagim where we need to light, of course, from an existing flame, making sure that you light on time, making sure that those lights, which is the privilege of the Jewish women to light up the home, to light up the world with the light of Torah and Mitzvot, for women. And then, of course, other longer term mitzvahs, such as Taharat HaMishpacha, living your life according to the rhythm of the months, living your life according to the rhythm of Torah, with mikveh and all of the essentials of family sanctity and family purity, which keeps our people protected as well. And then, of course, keeping kosher, eating kosher food, making sure we don't mix meat and milk, making sure we eat only kosher products. And yes, of course, a favorite tune is that we burcha, we fuss about the fact that prices go up, that things are expensive. Yeah, there is a price to it, certainly, but it's a price well worth paying to live by these instructions, to keep kosher, to learn Torah on a daily basis. And of course, the big one, Ahavat Yisrael, perhaps the one that supersedes most of the others, loving your fellow man as yourself. This is something we should strive for, something we should live for, and something we should live by. And we're mandated, of course, to do that, particularly in light of Gimel Tammuz, or the third of Tammuz, the Rebbe's Yahrzeit, coming up on Sunday. Now this came.
Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
Hi and welcome back. So let's move into this brand new month, which begins in earnest tonight and tomorrow night and the next day, with the advent of Tammuz, brand new month of Tammuz. This is the time. This is a time of great victory, as we spoke about the great victories, going all the way back to Joshua and thinking about the victories that have happened over the last week in our own time and in our own lives, and things that we have lived through and perhaps haven't really come to terms with or perceived what great miracles we have witnessed over the last short while, to think about the victoriousness and the victories of Am Yisrael, of the Jewish people, over many, many centuries, and to think then, project forward and think about the fact that all this comes together at the beginning of the month of Tammuz, brand new month, brand new opportunity, brand new time, brand new phase in our life. And think then, of course, what the Lubavitcher Rebbe stood for and what he taught us and how he gave us the tools and he gave us the means and the enthusiastic empowerment to go ahead and to do a tremendous amount to make the Jewish world a better place, to make our world a better and safer space, to bring about divine protection and elicit it from above, to remember, to acknowledge the divine providence in everything, to remember to live our lives according to our Torah, to remember to study our Torah, to remember to daven to God, to remember to be Jews through and through, to educate our children in Torah education, and to continue doing what we need to do as Jews to make the idea of a Jewish tomorrow so much more possible, so much more probable, so much more beautiful, so much more energized, and hopefully very, very soon to be able to realize that we have paved the way, we have made the path, we have blazed the trail for Mashiach to come, to take us out of this Golus, out of this diaspora, and to bring about the wonderful peace on earth that we truly hope and pray for, and that will be absolutely everlasting. I look forward to being back with you same time, same place next week. Wish you a great rest of the week and a great Shabbos up ahead, and take good care during the coming week.